Well, afternoon, everybody. All right. Let me just test the clicker quickly. Awesome. Thank you, Alvin. You're doing a great job. Okay. As always, before we get into God's Word, let's just bow our heads and pray together. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your presence in this place. That last worship song that we sang, it was such a powerful reminder that right now we want your, or we ask God, that you would allow your word to be planted deep within our hearts so that we can grow into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. We also ask that you would humble us and help us to reverently seek you. Pray right now that as I share your word, that I would decrease and that Holy Spirit, you would increase. And I just pray that you would speak to every person in this room and help us to hear your word. In your name we pray. Amen. So we have been on this journey of understanding what it means to build the right foundation. And if you've been here for the entire journey, we've been on this journey for the last 4 months, since the beginning of April, understanding what it means to have a strong foundation that is rooted in Christ. And actually, this morning, I was reminded of the importance of having this strong foundation. There were a few friends at another church who were sharing just about a situation in their life. And particularly, this one girl was sharing how her mother has just been recently diagnosed with cancer. And it was a very good reminder in the sense that this is why, as believers, we need to have a foundation, a strong foundation that is rooted in the teachings and the commands of Jesus Christ. Because we know that even as Christians, life happens. We get hit with situations. People do pass away. Accidents do happen. Strange things happen out of the blue in our lives. Different things and different situations and challenges do come up for Christians. And Jesus encourages us to make sure that our foundation is strong. Why? Because there will be storms and times of testing in our life. There will be tests for our faith to see if our faith endures through those trials or if our faith crumbles through those trials. And so this is why we've been on this journey of building the right foundation. And the scripture verse that Grace just read, it will actually be our scripture verse for the next 2 weeks. Because I'm going to share something today, and then it's also going to tie into next week as well. Before we get into really what we're going to talk about today, let's just review last week what we talked about. Last week we learned that to be a healthy church, we must do everything based on what God commands. We started talking, well, what does it mean to be a healthy church? If MCLCC exists for a God-given purpose, and we are not just here casually to meet together, then leave and go home, why has this church been planted? Why does this church exist? Well, we understand that everything we do as a church needs to be rooted in what God commands. And I've done this as a leader where I've done things that I thought is right and should be done a certain way. And then thankfully, by God's grace, he humbled me and showed me through his word. In actuality, this is what I desire for the church. And so everything we do as a church needs to be rooted in what God commands. We learn that biblically, to be a healthy and successful church, this means that we have a genuine relationship with God and are growing as Christ's disciple. We spent a few weeks understanding what intimacy with Christ looks like. That as Christians, everything in our life is based on our relationship with God. Do we have a genuine relationship with God? Meaning, no matter what is happening during our week, we look forward to spending time with Him. We are passionate and joyful about being alone with God and enjoying His presence. This is what it means to be healthy. That if we are going to love one another and love Christ's mission, it all starts with a genuine relationship with God. And we also learn that to be a healthy church, we must each do our own special work and help each other grow. And we looked at that verse from Ephesians, and I gave you guys that example of the building blocks, that the body of Christ is made up of many different parts, but it is all one body with Christ as the head. And in order for us to be healthy, it means that if you call MCLCC your family of believers, your church, well, that means find something to do within the church. Find an area where you can help serve and where you can help out. Don't just merely come and be a consumer, but look for opportunities to be a giver. Look for opportunities to help. And I said last week that there are many of you who are already helping out with, whether it be AV or even helping out with the scripture reading and different things like that. Continue to look for opportunities to serve. And this is what it means to be a healthy church. God says we each find our own special work to do within the body. And we serve God and we serve one another. So, today, I want to talk about how reverence needs to be our foundation. See, when we talk about being a healthy church, and we understand that we are the church, the people in this room, you are the church, I am the church. Part of being a healthy church involves spiritual growth and maturity. What do I mean by that? Well, what I mean is that there should be tangible evidence in our Christian journey that as each year passes, there is growth and there is maturity in our faith. And I'll give you this example, that if a plant, if you plant a seed in some soil, and if you actually take care of that seed and nurture it, it will grow, right? Or it should grow. Whatever that seed is, it should grow and it should mature. Well, the same is for us, that when initially that seed of truth was planted in our heart and we made a decision to become a follower of Jesus Christ, that means every year that we are a Christian, there should be some tangible growth and maturity in our life. That if we are the same person now when we first became a believer, then there is something significantly wrong there. Because the Bible talks about spiritual maturity, that we are to grow in our understanding of God's word. We are to grow in our ability to teach others. We are to grow in our passion. We are to grow in how we serve and how we pray. And there's so many other areas that we can grow. And it doesn't need to be like super big type of growth. The Bible is talking about steps of growth that happen in our life each and every season. And so I believe that Holy Spirit put this on my heart, that if we are to grow, reverence for God needs to be the foundation of how we grow. How many of you have ever played this game, Jenga? Okay, all the young people have played Jenga. Well, sorry, Andrew. You're young. He's played Jenga too. I'm horrible at this game, Jenga. Every time I play this game, I go right for the bottom piece right here. And usually when I go for it, for whatever reason, that piece is like stuck. You can't move it. And when I try to move it, it just knocks down the whole thing and that's it. I've lost, right? But in this picture, there's a foundation here. And everything else is being done here. And why is it important to have reverence as the foundation? Well, we're going to understand exactly what reverence is. But reverence needs to be a foundation for us as Christians, because if we have no reverent fear of who God is and understand who he is in comparison to who we are, then we will actually miss opportunities to grow and mature in our faith. But our reverence for God needs to be the foundation so that we can grow. Let's look at what reverence is actually defined as. To be reverent, it means living with the constant, conscious awareness that we are in the presence of an awesome, sovereign, and holy God. Okay, now there's two words there that we need to pay attention to. It's constant and conscious awareness. Now, most people, including Christians, when they engage in some type of sinful activity, there is no conscious awareness that they are in the presence of an awesome, sovereign, and holy God. Most people right now living in the world, unbelievers, there is no, sadly, constant conscious awareness that they exist in the presence of an awesome, sovereign, and holy God. But this is what it means to be reverent. It means we are right now in this gathering as a church. And as we worship, as we listen to God's word, as we fellowship, we need to understand that we are in the presence of an awesome, sovereign, and holy God. When we leave here today, whatever we do throughout this week, it's this constant and conscious awareness that we are in the presence of an awesome and holy God. There's this sense of awe that in comparison to God, this special being sitting on his throne right now, being worshipped by the angels and the elders in heaven, which the Bible says that as humans, if we were to look at God right now in his actual state, all of us would die. Because our physical, natural human eyes cannot look upon God. Which thankfully, when Jesus returns, we will all have new bodies and new eyes. And we will be able to look at the presence of God. But this is what the Bible talks about. That God's presence is not like our presence. We have very little comprehension and understanding of what God's presence is actually like. But as believers, we need to live with reverence, understanding that as we journey and as we worship and as we live life, it's this constant awareness that we are in the presence of an awesome, sovereign, and holy God. Let's continue to understand what reverence means. Reverence characterized by deep respect, love, and awe for someone is an important starting point for spiritual growth and maturity. If you are to grow as a Christian, You need to understand that everything you do as a believer, again, is being done before this awesome and holy God. This is the foundation of how we will spiritually grow and mature. It allows individuals to approach spiritual disciplines and teachings with the appropriate mindset and attitude, fostering a deeper growth in faith and understanding. So if we approach the teachings of God with a level of reverence that will honor Him, that means for most of us, even before we came to church today, how many of us really thought, well, I'm going to go worship God and I'm going to go listen to His word with absolute reverence? I'm going to really try to understand what God wants me to do and apply it to my life and take away something today that's going to help me become more of Jesus. If that was your mindset coming to church today, secretly raise your hand in your heart and praise God if that was your mindset. But I can almost guarantee that for most of us, that was probably not our mindset. That our mindset, for whatever reason, we wanted to come to church today. For some of us, maybe it was just to please our parents or to see our friends, to hang out with our friends, to socialize, whatever the case may be. But authentically, if your mindset and your attitude today was to come into the church gathering, understanding that we are to come before an awesome and holy God, and as Andrew led us into worship, that we are before an awesome and holy God. Even as we hear His word right now, I already see two people who have fallen asleep. And that's always something very funny to me. Your guys' service starts at 3:30. I don't understand how anyone could actually be tired, because you have the whole morning and afternoon to sleep. But this is something that I actually haven't taught you guys about. Most likely it's something spiritual that is happening, because we have a real enemy, Satan, and he actually, Pastor Zhang taught about this the other day. Satan has demons at his disposal who are looking to distract you from hearing the word of God. And part of that is actually falling asleep when the word of God is being taught. Because some people, they are totally engaged when they're watching Netflix or doing another activity outside of hearing the word of God. But the moment they hear the word of God, something spiritual happens. And I've been doing ministry now for 20 years, and I've seen many people, they just get distracted or they fall asleep. Even for myself personally, sometimes when you go to read the Bible, you feel attacked, right? You feel distracted. All different kinds of thoughts come to mind. And you're trying to study God's word. You're trying to really get deeper in your relationship with God. Well, we're going to go on that journey because I know you guys want to learn about spiritual warfare. But sometimes that's a spiritual attack from Satan to distract us from actually receiving something. So if you're here today and you're taking a nap, well, you're probably going to miss something that God wanted to teach you. But we all have that choice, right? When we have reverence, we approach spiritual disciplines and teachings with the appropriate mindset and attitude. And if we do this, it will foster deeper growth in faith and understanding. The Bible promises that to us. God promises that to us. That if we approach His word with reverence, there will be growth. There will be maturity. And there will be fruit. Okay? As we talk about reverence, two scriptures for you. Proverbs 9:10 in the New Living Translation says, "Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment." Okay, let's read the next one together in the Amplified Version. Okay, and it's going to be Proverbs 9:10 again. So, all together. The reverent fear of the Lord, that is worshiping Him and regarding Him as truly awesome, is the beginning and the preeminent part of wisdom, its starting point and its essence. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding and spiritual insight. So what is the scripture saying? Well, the foundation of wisdom, the foundation of understanding, the foundation of growth and maturity is reverence. It's a reverent fear of God and who God is. Now, there's some things to remember as we talk about reverent fear. There is a reverent fear according to the Bible, which is a fear of God. This is a healthy fear. When we have a reverent fear of who God is, that means we know we just don't get to live life how we want and make choices that we want to make. But we know that there will be consequences before God. That there is a healthy, reverent fear of who God is, that is a healthy fear. When there is a chronic or gripping fear that causes one to feel and think outside of the peace that God intends for us, this is an unhealthy fear. Let me give you guys an example. As an example, say somebody wanted to go on a mission trip to Honduras, right? And they just said, you know what? And this is not an actual example. I'm just pulling this from random. This is no one in actuality. But say that the opportunity came up to go on a mission trip to Honduras, and they said, well, I can't go to Honduras. And then when you ask them, why can't you go to Honduras? They said, well, I'm afraid of flying. Say, okay, you're afraid of flights. Is there anything that we can do to help you overcome that fear so you don't miss the opportunity to serve our missions? No. When I get on the plane, I start to shake. I just have this gripping fear. I can't move. I'm paralyzed. I can't even get on the plane or think about getting on the plane. Okay, this is a unhealthy fear. This is a type of fear that prevents people from actually living as Christ intends for them to live, which is in the peace and the reassurance that God is with them and God will help them. Okay? When we talk about this type of fear, anything that causes us to live in chronic fear is not from God. It's not a healthy fear, and it's not from God. Actually, it is from our enemy, Satan, and his kingdom. That if we have a chronic fear of water, spiders, whatever the case may be, it's actually not from God. Why? Because the Bible says God has actually not given us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of peace of mind. So anytime we experience a type of fear in our life that prevents us from living in the way that God wants us to live, it's not from God. It's an unhealthy fear. So those are just some things to remember, some things to be mindful of. Okay, so what does it look like to live in reverent fear of God? You say, okay, Pastor Christian, I understand what reverence is. Understanding that I'm in the presence of an awesome, holy, and sovereign God. How do I live my life in reverent fear of that God? Well, let's look at this scripture. 1 Peter 1:17 says, and remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of Him during your time here as temporary residents. The scripture is explaining to us, one, we are temporary residents here. If you identify as a Christian, you know that this is not your real home. That your real home, your real life, is hidden with Christ in heaven. And when he returns, all of that will be revealed. Second, the scripture reminds us that when we stand before God, he is going to be the one who will judge us according to what we do, how we've lived our life, how we've committed our time to Christ. And it says, well, because God, this awesome, holy, sovereign God, is going to judge every single person on earth, including his church, that how shall we live? In reverent fear of him during our time here. A reverent fear of who God is needs to be our foundation. And if we constantly have this reminder and understanding that we live in the presence of an awesome and holy God who will judge the world one day. And the Bible says that we have the opportunity to be purposeful as we live as temporary residents. But reverent fear needs to be our foundation. So I want to share three truths with you on what we need to remember going forward. And these are three simple truths that we need to remember. Okay, the three C's, as I like to call them, as I was preparing this sermon, three C's, and we'll see what they are. But the first is this, is truth number one, is we need to remember that God, he is the creator, and we are the creation. Now, what does this mean? Well, we live in a very unique time where people like to think that they are God. And they like to think that they are the ones who are actually calling the shots. I don't know if you have met anyone like that, but I have. People who actually believe that they can make decisions like God. And they don't need to submit to God. They don't need to submit to the authority of God. But all of us, we need to remember, he is the creator. We are the creation. And what that means is there is a special being in heaven who by his own accord and love and grace chose to redeem us. There is a special being in heaven that created everything in this world. We have not created anything. Even depending on where you live, the car you drive, the job you have, we give the glory to God because it's all by his grace. There's not much that we could do if he has not given us the breath and the strength to do it. We woke up this morning, praise God, it's by his grace. Because there's a lot of people around the world who have not woken up this morning. We take a breath right now, our next breath that we breathe, well, it's by God's grace because he's giving us that breath. If we live throughout the rest of this week, praise God. Because he is the one who is allowing us to live throughout this week. He is the creator. We are the creation. This helps us to remember how we live in reverent fear of who he is. The second truth is this. He is the potter. We are the clay. What does that scripture mean? Well, it means that I hope that when you actually made that decision to follow Christ and get water baptized, you understood that you were surrendering your life to Jesus. To say, Jesus, it's no longer about what I want, but I want you to shape me and mold me and be the artist in my life to create me in the way that you want me to be. And that means our position is just to surrender to what God wants to do, how He wants to grow us, how He wants to use us. It takes a lot of humility and submission to go before God and say, God, it's no longer really about what I want in life. I have a lot of dreams, I have a lot of goals, but I surrender all of that to you, God, so that you can mold me and so that you can make me in what you want me to be. And we already know that according to the Bible, God desires to mold us into the likeness of His Son. With the same character, the same mindset, the same attitude, the same values, the same vision as His Son, Jesus Christ. But living in reverent fear of God means that we understand He is the potter. We are the clay. We don't get to say to the potter how we want to live. We just simply surrender to His handiwork. And we trust that His plan is better than our plan. We trust that His promises are better. And we hold on to that. We secure our faith on what God says about our life and how we should be living. The last truth is this, is that He is our Father and we are His children. He is our heavenly Daddy. We are His children. So if you caught the three C's, we're the creation, we're the clay, and we're His children. Okay, so remember that. Maybe I might quiz you on it next week. Probably not, but creation, clay, and children. And if we understand these things, we understand that there's absolute security and identity in understanding that we are God's creation, we are His clay, and we are His children. If we understand the security of that and the identity that we have in Christ in that, then praise God, that's an amazing place to be. But with that, there is also love for God, there's submission to God, there's respect for God, and there's reverence for who God is. I'm going to illustrate it this way, and I use this illustration somewhat similarly in another church setting, but my son, Isaiah, many of you have met him. Saw him a couple weeks ago when he came with me. And if I tell you one thing about Isaiah, I love that kid. But that kid has moments of some rebellion that really test my patience and test my self-control. But any parent knows what that's like. But I am Isaiah's father. I love him very much. But he also receives discipline and correction from me when he does something wrong. And he also does not get to dictate entirely how he lives. When he tries to tell me, sometimes he'll come to me and say, Daddy, we're going to do this today. And I always remind him, I said, you know what the best part of being a child is, Isaiah? And he's like, what? I said, the most fun part is you always get to listen to your mommy and daddy and do whatever they say. That's the best part of being a child, is that you don't actually get to dictate how you live. You might have a little choice here of, you know, what you want to wear today, which toys you want to play with. But when it comes to the major decisions, there's actually no say, right? There's very little say from a child in what you get to do. This is what's for dinner, you eat it. This is where we're going today, you're coming, right? This is what we're gonna go get today, you're coming along. There's not very much that he gets to dictate. Well, it's very similar for us as God's children. We are God's children. And as we live as God's children, you are a child of God, I am a child of God. And I pray that you know this. I know that my heavenly daddy loves me. I know that with absolute certainty. And I pray that you know that. That no matter what mistakes you make, what types of failures you go through in your Christian journey, that nothing changes God's love for you. And the fact that your heavenly Father loves you as a son and as a daughter. And you could give up on him, but he will never give up on you. You could stop pursuing him and stop having a relationship with you, with him, sorry. But he will never stop pursuing you. And he will never stop desiring to have a real relationship with his children. He loves us, and he desires to know us. And I know sometimes people struggle with this type of identity. Does God really love me? When I mess up, does he still love me? I can tell you with absolute certainty, according to his word, he loves you. And he loves us as his children. But if we know that we have an heavenly father, a heavenly daddy who loves us, it also means that we need to choose to honor him and submit to him. Submit to his word in our choices, in how we live, and in our obedience. That means as his children, hopefully our motivation for being obedient to him, hopefully, sometimes, if not all the time, Isaiah's motivation for listening to me is because he loves me. And that's where the change happens. Where it's not, okay, God, I'm going to listen to you because, well, why? Because that's just the motivation. Our motivation needs to be love for God. Our motivation needs to be, God, you love me, well, I want to love you. And how do we love God? Well, we show him this reverence. And in our choices and in our decisions and in our lifestyle and in our obedience, we choose to love God as our heavenly daddy. And so this is kind of like maybe a loving warning that if you desire to grow in your relationship with God, the foundation will need to be reverence. Because if reverence is our foundation, by the time this year is done, there will be tangible growth and maturity in some of you. But if you're here just for all the wrong reasons and the wrong motivations, well, the scripture is pretty true about that too. That by the end of this year, you'll be exactly where you are right now. Maybe not that passionate about your relationship with God. Here for different reasons, here for different motivations. And you'll miss the opportunity to grow in a relationship with God and to be used by God to do some amazing things in this world, despite the hardship or despite the challenges. And the decision is really up to each of us. How serious are you about your faith and your relationship with God? But if we are to be a healthy church, a church that when God looks down and sees this church gathering, he can actually say, I'm pleased with that gathering. I'm pleased with that group of believers. And we know, according to the Bible, that God is not necessarily pleased with every church gathering. In fact, in the Bible, he said to many churches that gather together, just stop. Close the door. Stop doing what you're doing. Because it's better that you do nothing than come and give me that kind of fake worship. So in order for us to be a healthy church, reverence needs to be our foundation. And if we are to spiritually mature and spiritually grow and grow to be a healthy church that God is pleased with, then I believe reverence needs to be our foundation. So as we leave today, let's remember we're the creation. He's the creator. We're the clay. He's the potter. We are his children. He is our father. When we come in to worship and to listen to his word, we need to be coming with a heart of reverence, a mindset and an attitude that understands that every moment of every day, especially when we gather as his church, we are in the presence of an awesome, holy, sovereign God. And if we can remember this as we journey as Christians, then I believe that it's going to cause us to approach our life differently and have a different perspective on life. And we will actually grow into the body of Christ that God desires for us to be. So spiritual maturity is key. Just take an examination of your own life. And if you can say, last year, 2024, July 20th, this same time, you know today, compared to last year, that you've grown in your relationship with God, and there's been maturity in your life. And what God intends for you has actually come to pass. But if you sit here today and you say, compared to last year, July 2024, I'm exactly the same as I was then. I'm not that passionate about discipleship. I'm not that passionate about my relationship with God. It's just the same. Same as it was last year. Then we need to think about that as well. And if that's our current state and our current situation, maybe God wants us to start with a heart of reverence, to understand that as we journey, we are journeying before, we are living our lives before an awesome, a holy, and a sovereign God that looks at our life, and yes, he loves us, but he also wants us to live in a way where we are obedient to his commands. And his ways supersedes our own ways. This is what it means to be healthy as his church. Okay, let's pray. Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your word. I pray that as we leave today, that we would just leave with this understanding that God, your ways are not like our ways. Your thoughts are not like our thoughts. And for us to grow as a healthy church and to be biblically successful, we need to understand what it means to live in reverent fear of who you are. Just pray that this understanding of who you are, God, that it would just transform how we live, that it would transform our attitudes, our mindsets, even how we approach you, God, how we approach your word, how we approach church gatherings, how we approach our life. I pray that we would understand truly by the power of your Spirit what it means to live in reverent fear of you. And I just pray that you would continue to build that foundation in us and help us to spiritually mature and grow. Because there should be tangible growth in our Christian journey. It doesn't need to be extravagant, but there should be small, little bits of growth in our journey, each and every season, where we're learning something new, and we're growing in our knowledge of your word, and we're growing in our relationship with you. I just pray that this is our heart's desire. And as MCLCC, we would continue to be lovers of you, God, lovers of your word, lovers of one another, and lovers of Christ's mission. But we need you, God, and I ask that you would help us to grow in these areas. In your awesome and holy name, we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Bishop, for your message.
That message is done.
You are the creator.